the interesting that the Chayvei Talvodos in Shara Havas Hashem, we tried to bring different excerpts of the Chayvei Talvodos in different areas. Basically, we're studying Shara Bitochen, but to have the opportunity to have some of the insights of the Chayvei Talvodos in other areas as well, which is all akupanim, all related to the union of Chayvei Talvodos and into Avodas Hashem of a person. The Chayvei Talvodos points out in Shara Havas Hashem in Perik Vod. He says again, as we had the last few weeks, we pointed out that the Chayvei Talvodos gives us little anecdotes and maises regarding Eloh Hayidin, Chassidim, as he calls them, or Pirushim, to show their Madragis and the Bitochen, the Munas Hashem, their Havas Hashem, and so on. The Chayvei Talvodos says, and he talks about that Sefer, that one of the Chassidim, he says, spoke about Alechot Mehayureim. He said that he met one of the Yidin who are Yireim, who are Eloh Hayidin, who are Oyvei Hashem. Shemotzo Yoshin Be'echad HaMidboris. In other words, one of the Yireim was found that he was asleep in one of the deserts. Shemotzo Yoshin, he found that he was asleep Alechad HaMidboris. Vom Aloi. And this Elohid was asked, this person goes to sleep in a desert, so they asked him, Ha'eincho Yorei Min Ha'arye? Are you not afraid of the wild animals, lions and so on, that you're allowing yourself to go to sleep and lie down in the Midbar? He says, Shato Yoshin Bemokim Hazeh, said the Chayvei Talvodos, that Oma Aloi. So the Ish Yorei Lekim, the Elohid, he answered and he said, Ani Boish Melekim, he says, Sheirani, he says, Yorei Zulosu. He says that I would be embarrassed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I should be afraid of anything else than other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means is that the Madrega of Yerushimayim goes to the extent that someone can reach a madrega that nothing else fears him. He's not afraid of anything else. And the truth is, we should not be surprised, because we say this in the davening when we say Adonai Lo Masher Molach, we say Hashem Li Leiro, which means if a person really has confirmed in his mind and he feels close to the Baruch Hu, then Leiro, he says clearly that I'm not afraid. Chabovis points out how far this goes, that this particular person even was sleeping in the desert, and it did not occur to him to be afraid of an Ari, he said, because I'd be embarrassed, he said. I would be embarrassed, in fact, to be afraid of anything else other than from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'd be embarrassed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he would see that I am embarrassed, allow myself to fear anything else. Interesting to point out that this Nekudah that the Chayvei Talvodos presents to us, the idea is that a person who is a true Yerushimayim, all the other secondary fears that a normal might normally have, they become bottled. And they evaporate due to the person's great Madrega in Yerushimayim. It's kedai to point this out. It's very well known in Olam HaYeshivas, and it's printed as well. In a particular essay of the Beis Halevi, he says regarding one of the lavim in the Torah that we very well know is the lav of Loisachmoy, the Yeseres HaDibris, that the person should not desire what other people have. The Torah goes on to enumerate various items, Loisachmoy. And one of the kashas against Leisachmoyd is the famous kasha of Ibn Ezra himself, who raised the question, desire is something, is an emotion, is something which a feeling that a person has. And Ibn Ezra really asks, if a person's heart naturally desires something, how do you tell him that not to desire? A common example to understand this better is, the Torah, for example, can tell a person to fast on Yom Kippur, but you can't tell him don't be hungry on Yom Kippur. That's a natural emotion. You can tell him something to do or not to do, so you mitzaveh became Adam. Don't do this, don't do this. But hargoshes and feelings and so on and emotions, these are things that a person, which is inside a person, and it's very hard, difficult to try to control a person's emotions, tell him don't. His heart desires. A similar kasha is the Rishonim and Sasemus later on, which of course not Rishon. Sasemus also addressed himself to the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, Ahavas Hashem Alekecho. Ahav again, loving, is an emotion, is something which either you do love or you don't love. How do you mitzvah? How do you command someone? You can tell them to put on film. This is something you have to do. So you take your hands and you do it. Eat matzah. Blow shofar. Any mitzvah in the Torah which has to do with doing or not doing, you mitzvah. First you command, you have to do it. But when you're dealing with a factual feeling and a hargosha that a person has, a person doesn't like a certain food. Can you try to be mitzvah? I command you to like it. I don't like it. It just doesn't. The chemistry isn't there with me. I just don't like it. So how are you mitzvah someone of Hatos Hashem Alekev and so on? And this is a different topic which we're not getting into now, but regarding Leisachmoy, which we want to bring out here, which Ibn Ezra really asked that question. that regarding Lysam, how does the Torah command Lysachma? So the Rebbe says, the truth is, it all depends is in a person's mind, how he visualizes in terms of his emunah, of having the ability in order to succeed in getting something. For example, effectual Moshe says in Ezer, he says, something which a person clearly does not have a havim in it, does not even have, he says, a percent of achieving, there's something which is not going to occupy his mind about having it. Common example, he says, is the Kafri, he says, Ibn Ezra, the villager, or the common peasant, will not occupy in his mind, he says, the desire to have the king's daughter, because he knows it's not Tyre. Now, Shashi says, 1,000 years can go by, he'll never have the opportunity, he says, to marry the king's daughter. So the villager, the peasant, the lowly peasant, who knows that this is impossible, and if you really believe that it's impossible, it's just natural, it's not going to occupy your mind. Because something, perhaps, is the furthest thing from reality. When something is, in fact, when you recognize that something is the furthest thing of reality, it's not going to offer your mind to desire it. Because B'chla has a shaykhus to you. Has no shaykhus. Ibn Ezra says, if a person really has a munah, that which he has is only that which is decreed min ha-shamayim, is the gzeir min ha-shamayim. And that which is not intended for him to have, no matter what he'll do, he will not succeed in getting it. Even though it might appear for a moment that he'll have it, at the end of the day, he will not really achieve, he will not really have it. So if the Torah really says the idea, loisakma, not the desire, what it means is because a person has to understand that that which is not his was not destined for him to be his. Because Baruch Hu prescribed what the other person has, that's his, and what you have, this is yours. And therefore, if you really believe that, that you only have that which is destined in your mind for you to have, Memela de Leisachmoy will not be there. So the Avodah Leisachmoy is really to believe, a person should really strengthen his emunah, knowing that which somebody else has was intended for him. Shemayim gave it to him, not for you. And therefore you will not succeed, really, in possessing that. That is the Nikudah that the Ibn Ezra points out. Something that you really believe is not real for you to have, he said, then you will not desire it. It will not occupy your mind. That was the Mahalach of the Ibn Ezra. The Beis Halev, Ibn Ezra says, it's a Yesoy, but it doesn't, he says, have to be the only terrorist of discussion. He says, the way Loisachmud works, and he presents it to us, and this is more on the lines of the Chovas HaVovas here, and we'll appreciate it in reality. He points out, he says, assuming that a person has a tremendous desire, whether it's a particular house, could be a particular car, could be to enter a particular business, a person, let's say, has, or any type for any item, whether it's a food item, whatever the item should be, assuming that a person has a tremendous taiva, and the taiva, the desire is so strong that it's really burning in him. It's burning him, and he thinks about it, and he's figuring out all kinds of ways how to achieve it, which happens in life, all the time. A person has a desire for a particular thing, and therefore he'll try to do whatever possible in order to get it. So he thinks about it all the time. When will I have the opportunity, he says, to be able to achieve it and to attain, to acquire for myself? Even so, even when something really occupies your mind, so let's imagine the following scenario, says the Beis Lady. Let's say that finally, you realize that the thing that you're most hoping for, something that years and years you're imagining to get it, finally you see that you have the ability, you find out you can succeed in getting it, but you know what? It's about 2 miles away. All right, no big deal. So you're going to travel to 2 miles. That's all it is, 2 miles away. I'll go to get it. He says, in order to get there, to the destination, in order to acquire the item that you're looking for, you have to cross over, let us assume, a frozen river. All right, so he's going to do it. It's a frozen river. He comes to the river, and he crosses the frozen river. All of a sudden, he slips, and he realizes that what? That he can bang his head. He's frightened. He can break all his bones. At that moment, when fear possesses him, so what's in his mind now? He's not thinking about those items that he was going for. What he's thinking now for the moment, instinctively, a person thinks, is to save his life. He'll put his hand here, he'll put his hand there. He'll do things in order to protect himself. In other words, Beis Halevi says, you see as a fact of life, this is a psychological phenomenon, which is true, that if a person all of a sudden, he slips on a banana peel, whatever his mind was preoccupied prior, he's not going to think about that now. Because now he's worried about, he's slipping, who knows what can happen to me. Instinctively, a person has it built in to try to save himself, to protect himself. When a person is all of a sudden consumed with fear, fear overrides any taiva that you might have. Because the fear of the moment is something which takes over. says the Beis Halevi, if a person has the ultimate fear, that's Yerushalayim, the ultimate awe, Yerushalayim, and you live with Yerushalayim, not that something can abstract a posuk in the Torah, you know, Be'areisam alakecho, you know, but it's something that he lives with. It's something with a person, which is something real, it's tangible. If a person has Yerushalayim all over him, his guf, his body is filled with Yerushalayim, Yerah, he says, is mevatel all type of taivas on the side. You can't worry about the taivas. If you're afraid about something, then you're worried about the Yerah. You're concerned about the Yerah. That's what you're worried about. So the person, so the lav of leisachman means, that's what, in other words, what's the Torah telling you? Strengthen your Yerushalayim. If you strengthen your Yerushalayim, there's not going to be room, there's not going to be any time for leisachman. Because when a person is consumed with Yerah, therefore it's mevatel. It wipes out. And it erases all types of taiva. So he points out, and he says that maybe that's why when the Torah says, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimach, all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, all. Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimach. What does he want? Kim Lo Yira Es Hashem Elokecha. And then it says, the left is Bedrocha. So the focus seems to be, what does he want? Kim Lo Yira. And then it says, the left is Bedrocha. Said basically, because if you'll have Yira, all the other things will fall by the wayside. All the other artificial things. Because if you have Yira, then a person is occupied, is consumed with his Yira. And that is really, that takes over his life. And if you have Yira, which is the ultimate Yira, which is Yira Shemayim, then all the other things, he says, will just become bottled and just remove themselves. So that's the Nikudah. And that's really what the Beis Halevi pointed out, which the Chodesh HaVavos actually started with. If you have Yira Shemayim, it's a true Yira Shemayim, he says, I'm not afraid of the lion, he says, I'm not afraid of any other things. As a matter of fact, I'm even embarrassed, he says. I'm embarrassed. I'd be embarrassed in order to have any other fear but be upon me. And fear of Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is mamash mabatel any other fear that a person might have in his life. Let me just point out here that it is said over B'Shem Simcha Wasserman. Simcha Wasserman is, of course, the son of Rabbi Chanan, who is the great Rashir Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, who is a great Goyin and a Tzaddik in both ways. We have Simcha many, many times in Shul, years ago. Simcha used to come, he used to speak. So I said a lot of very interesting insights. Let me just tell you something. He says, I've got it. But similarly, he used to say, says, the smol doicha b'yamin mekarit, one of the classical insights of Reb Simcha. It says, the smol doicha, sometimes you push away someone with the left hand, but you're mekarit him with yamin. As one hand pushes away, the other hand is mekarit. B'yamin, the smol doicha b'yamin mekarit. You're mekarit with the right hand, and you push away with the left hand. And the Reb Simcha says, he says, why do you have to separate the hands? Why can't you do it, he says, with one hand? Push him away with one hand and bring him back with the same hand. Why do you have to use two hands? Why do you say it? Smoil doiche, smoil mekarev. Or maybe say, b'yamin doiche, b'yamin mekarev. Why do you have two hands being involved over here? The difference is like this. If you're pushing away someone, let's say, who needs to be distanced for a moment, for a while, somebody needs to be rebuked. Amela, there is... If you use one hand, it means that there's a separation between the dechiyah, between the pushing and the mekarev. You push away, I have to do a second maaseh to bring him back. You never want to push away a person completely. If you use two hands, the same time you're pushing away, with the hand brings them today. It's like turning something. It means you never really push them away completely. The min doich, the min mekarev, is the bismol doich, is two hands. And using two hands, it means even toich hadechiyah, the mekarev is right there at the same time. That's what happens is when you use the two hands. As Reb Simcha pointed out, he says also many times that your Rebbe with his Talmud, many times you have to give him some Musar. You have to be very careful how you deal with the Talmud. You never push him away. And maybe he needs a little Musar, maybe you have to be a little strict with him sometimes. But at the same time, the Ahav and the love should be at the same time. So the Talmud never feels that he really was banished, he was thrown out. But he feels the love of the Rebbe at the same time, when the Rebbe is using one hand maybe to give him a little push, but at the same time, the Rebbe is bringing him back in. It's a very, very important Yesod and Chinuch, how to be Matlich and how to deal. How to deal with Talmidim. In any case, Reb Simcha used to say that, he said that many times, most of our trials, he said, the situations that we have in life, he says, are not always black and white, which means to say is issues of good or bad. That's how we always tend to think, that the situations in life is whether good or bad. These are the trials that we go through. Should I always do good? I'm tempted to do bad, so therefore I'm being tested between good or bad, either to do good or maybe to do bad. He says, yes, of course, these are only some of our nisyonos, but many times, more often than not, he says, many times, more often than not, our nisyonos, our tests revolve around doing good or doing better. It's not good versus bad. We can have nisyonos within good itself, whether to do just good or to do better. And the way he illustrated that was, he said, the marshal is that a person, the fact is, can find himself, you can be pulled, he says, many times in 10 different directions at all. All of them are mitzvahs, by the way. All of them are mitzvahs. And somehow you're confronted with a choice, which is the mitzvah that I should do? Which is the mitzvah that you should do? And therefore you start thinking all different types of logic and reasoning. Maybe this is the better mitzvah I should do. Maybe this, of course, you can do all of them, try to do all of them. But assuming that you have one opportunity now in front of you, and there's so many different choices. So he says, in deciding which course to take, a person has to determine which mitzvah, he said, is the most important. And he gave him also, he said, that a pauper, he says, a poor man, he says, he once came to a certain Hasidish Rebbe, and he tearfully tells the Rebbe his plight, tells him Rebbe his matzah, tells him his sorrows. He says that he desperately needs, he said, 400 rubles. And these 400 rubles, Pasha, he should be able to marry off his daughter, and he had nowhere to turn. So maybe the Rebbe could give him a donation. The Rebbe, unfortunately, says to him that although their klal, the Rebbe was known as a dispenser of tzedakah, he always gave a lot of tzedakah, but he says, you just came to me at a time, he says, that the funds are depleted. Funds are depleted. And the Rebbe says, it's currently empty. The funds are empty. So the Rebbe says, listen, I sympathize with you very much, so you know what I can do for you, nothing practical, but I promise to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll be mispalt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on your behalf, to send, he says, the sum that you need. Interesting thing, lo and behold, the Yid had left, but right after that the Yid left, he says, a person, another chusid, comes into the Rebbe, and he says to the Rebbe joyfully, he said that he just recuperated, he said, from a serious illness, and he wants to donate 400 rubles, he said, to the needy. Put 400 rubles, exactly. So the Rebbe immediately, he calls the pauper back, and he intends to give him the 400 rubles. As soon as the pauper comes in, the Rebbe is about to give it to him, and he says, wait, he says, I'll come back soon, later. And he goes out for about an hour. The Rebbe comes back later, and he gives them the money. The Gabbai was there. It's a very interesting thing. He says, what happened? Obviously, you saw him in a Shemayim. He said, you were mispalled for the chusid as soon as he left for the pauper. And immediately he saw a chusid came and gave you mamas the 400 rubles. He said, what was your hesitation? He says, very interesting, he says, that Abad was obvious because Kadosh Baruch Hu sent him the money, the 400 rubles. However, he said, a thought occurred to him, why give the entire sum of 400 rubles, he says, to one person? Maybe it would be better to divide the 20 portions. I can have about 20 people. So I give the 400 rubles back to one person. And then he says, the Rebbe realized that cheshbon came from the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, instead of helping out the Yid, who really came to him at that particular time, and the Rebbe really was willing to help him, all of a sudden when the Rebbe did come into the hands of the money, the Yetzer Hara says, why give him all the money? Give it maybe to 20 other people. Rabbi Meir Cheshem, he said, the way the message came to him, the mitzvah, this other mitzvah, so to speak, presented itself was in a way, he says, that in a way, don't give, he said, all the money to the first person, rather divide it up among several people. He says that he determined that a mitzvah that's presented in the negative, which means that to benefit somebody else at the expense of somebody else, he figured that this must be a suggestion of the Yetzer Hara. Which means to say that even when you do a mitzvah, you have to try to be sure that what, in fact, that you're doing really the utmost on the mitzvah that is really at hand. And it means to say, therefore, that a person needs siyata d'shamaya, not only to good and bad, but to recognize the mitzvah that comes your way to do it right. I should just say this on the side. In halacha, there are differences of opinion, by the way. Is it better to give one large donation to one person, or to give many smaller donations to other? Rambam says in Pirush Mishnayos and Sefer says there's a mission that says, "Tahakul if you roiv ha-maisa." Yosef Engel brings in one of his svarim, the great Goyim of Yosef Engel, brings that Rambam also, it would seem from the Lashon Rambam, Baklafi Rebbe Meister, Rambam says, to give many, many prutas to many aniyim, which would seem that would be better than to give the whole amount rather to one ani, give the opportunity to give to many others as well. That would be Mashal Lashon Rambam. In any case, every situation is different, and has to be evaluated with the tzayrich and the need at the particular time, and the matzav of the person. Rebbeinu, let's take a look here a little bit at the sheet here. We are continuing a little bit of a few lines that we had here on the Beis Halevi. There's a kuntres on the Beis Halevi, which is Sefer HaBitochen of the Beis Halevi. Let me just mention again, we always make a shtickle hagdom about the Beis Halevi. Of course, Rabbi Yoshe Ben Brisker, the father of Rabbi Chaim, and of course the grandfather of the Briskerov and Rabbi Elville and Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik and so on. The Briskerov told Rav Shach, the little Torah says that when the Beis Halevi was the Rav in Slutsk, that was before Brisk, when the Beis Halevi was the Rav, he said in Slutsk, did not want to paskin Shilas because he was Meirei Hayroah. I mean, we spoke many, many times about the tremendous Yerushimayim of the Beis Halevi. Part of that manifested itself that he was Meirei Hayroah. By the way, you find this Loshon Rabbi Akiva Eiger also in the Tshuvas. From time to time, you write, I am Meirei Hayroah, so maybe ask another God will be Yisrael, and so on and so forth. And this phenomenon was not uncommon by Gedolei Yisrael, but usually it was by the very emster Shilas, very starke Shilas, the difficult Shilas, who would not want to take it upon the shoulders. But the Beis Halevi Mamaisa took it all the way, that he did not want to pass the Shilas because of Meirei Hayroah. Even Poshet the Shilas, they say, and what did he do? But he's a Rav in the town, so Shilas have to be Paskin. So the Beis Halevi himself used to send the Shilas. Used to be a Talmud Chochem sitting alone in the Beis Medrash. His name was Reb Mendel. In Slutsk. His name was Reb Mendel, Talmud Chochem sitting in the Beis Medrash. And whenever the Beis Halevi had a Shilas, he sent the Shliach to ask Reb Mendel. Reb Mendel should Paskin the Shilas. And once he had a Shilas on a blitz truck. Today it's not so common anymore because the eggs are candled. But you know, you find a spot of blood in an egg. Anyway, so the Shiloh was, is it a problem? Is it not a problem? Is it really a blood spot? Is it just a discoloration of some sort? So, even something which is relatively simple to paskin, the Beis Halevi did not want to paskin it. So he sent a shliach, the Biskrov told his Rav Shach. So he sent a shliach to ask Reb Mendel a Shiloh on this blitz drop, on this spot of blood. And Reb Mendel knew that the Beis Halevi, of course, is the Rav. He's asking him. So he always tried to, in a way, not make it obvious that he's Paskin Shilas. He's very embarrassed. It's very embarrassing to him, the Rav of Beis Halevi. Literally, a God Lador, in his own right. The Goyness in the Tzidkis, he's sending a Shilas to Reb Mendel. So he didn't want to make it look like he's Paskin the Beis Halevi Shilas. So he'd say to the Shliach, who came as a Shliach from the Beis Halevi, What's the halacha on the egg? So he answered like this. Wait, go back. He knows it's kosher. No, instead of saying, I pass him it as kosher, he knows it's kosher, so what are you asking me? Inadvertently, he said, he passed him it as kosher. So instead of saying outright that it's kosher, he says, go back, he says, why are you coming to me for it? He knows it's kosher. So Pesach was there. He passed him that the egg is kosher. But it's a very interesting thing, in terms of kashrus as well. Kashrus was always an issue, you know, in small towns. Small towns had a shoychit, and there was a rogue, there was a dayan. It's a larger town, but they had many dayon and more than one dayon, and so on and so forth. The Beis Halevi did not allow shechita to take place in Slutsk. Being that he was such a machmer all the time, he did not feel that the situation of kashrus in Slutsk, that it was 100% to his standards. He did not feel that he could really enforce it properly and have it properly. So the shechita for all the meat that came to Slutsk came from out of town. A town not far outside of Slutsk. The butchers in Slutsk themselves did not like that, because there's a big tirche in order for them to go get meat from elsewhere to be delivered, to be brought in. Anyway, a particular Purim, one of the butchers decides to bring a very, very unusual shalach monis to the Beis Halevi, to the Rav of the town. What does he bring him? A live cow. The Beis Halevi sees it. You understood that there's something here. Not so kosher here. I won't say not kosher here. He brings him this live cow. So he just didn't say anything at the time. After a few months later, he says, that same butcher comes to the road, and he says, the machzor chazei tamalatim, he's like not knowing, you know, nishtehin, he says, why are we shechting behemoths, he says, animals, he says, outside of town, it's better to shecht it here. Why? Because here, under your supervision, you're the rov, you hear it, it would be bimkoimoi. You would be able to have a hands-on observation and supervision. Just shechting, you bring in meat from out of town, you're not there by the shechita, you don't exactly know what's taking place over there. My opinion, said the butcher to the Rav, my opinion is that we should start a shechita over here, and everything will be shechted by Shgachas HaRav, we'll have tremendous supervision and so on, and it'll be gevaldik. The Beis Halevi now understood why he was given the cow as shalach monis. This is supposed to be like similar to a shechita. This would be some bribery in order to set up a shechita here in Slutsk. And the Beis Halevi says like this, listen, he says, don't worry, kashrus. He says, listen, it's a kal vachomer. If out of town, he says, that we don't know, you're saying, who the shochtim are. He says, you are saying it's a problem. Here's Slutsk, I know who the shochtim are. He says, about it's a problem. He says, I know who they are here. So don't worry about it. Anyway, Rabbi Saito, let's take a look here, a little bit, just a little like Dhamma here, about the Beis HaLevi, and see a couple of pieces here of the Beis HaLevi here. Okay, we have the paragraph number one. Beis HaLevi says, V'chein b'inyin mezoinis. So when it comes to Parnosik, see, Posik says in Shemuel, says Hashem Moirish Umashir, Kodesh Baruch Hu is who makes rich and makes poor. Moirish Umashir, poor and rich. Uksiv is the Posik in Tehillim, as we know, Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcha, throw your burden on Hashem Yehu Yechal Kalecha, and He will sustain you. Hashem Roi Lo Yechzor, Kodesh Baruch Hu is my shepherd, I'm not lacking anything. The Yitzkor, Beis HaLevi says, be reminded, Ki Avoyim Shonu Holcha V'Seinu B'Midbor, 40 years, our ancestors went through the Midbar, Lerchos through Dovor, nothing was lacking. Kodesh Baruch Hu provided with Mon Minashamayim and so on. V'chein b'chol advarim shishachuloi. Also, anything that's new, he says, V'gam kishosak beze esek v'tzliach, no matter how much you might be matzliach in a business, Yovin, understand, ki loy hasib begor maloy harevach. Something repeats many times. That's not the cause and effect. The cause of the effect was not the business, which appeared to the naked eye, it's the business that brought me that slofet. Rak lehefer, harevach hu shenigzer olo, v'im kodesh baruch hu was going to lead you, should have profit, so the profit brought you the business. It's not that the business brought you the profit. Being that Kodesh Baruch Hu was geyser, that whether you should make kach v'kach profit, so it has to be a way, natural way. It's Kodesh Baruch Hu therefore gave you the business to make a profit. You think that it's the business that gave you the profit. It's the other way around. It's the profit that gave you the business. The reason that you have the business that you have, because Kodesh Baruch Hu was geyser first, then you can have the profit. Understand, he says, lehefek, he says, rak lehefek, harevach hu shenigzer olo, is the profit that was nigzer on him, that was the cause that he should find the right business to go into and so on. That is what brought the consequence. So what is the cause and what is the consequence? The business is the cause and the consequence is the profit that way around. The profit is the cause and the business is the consequence. Because if Baruch Hu wants that profit, that's the cause that you should make that business. That's the way it works. A tremendous thing, as we see here, from today's parasha, parasha's Miketz, very beautifully. He said, "Velozek kivnu chachomenu zal." That's the kavanah of the Chazal say b'medrash rabbah. Al posuk v'hi Miketz in the same yomim. When the extra 2 years, Yosef HaTzadik was in jail, was in prison. The 2 years ended. So then we see, what do we see? How is he delivered from jail? Now the way he seems he delivered, because Pari had a chulam, Pari dreamed, and therefore it was destined for Yosef to be the interpreter. So the way it appears, Rabbi Yisai, Pari's dream brought Yosef's liberation. That's the simple sequence of events. Paro's dream brought Yosef his freedom. Because Paro dreamed, the male Yosef was used. Let's take a look at Paro Chayla. But the Medrash says, no, that's not how it works. Look at the words of the Medrash and see how he explains it. How does it? What we see in the Pasuk is to relate the Pasuk in the ear. Case som lachosheh. The same way that Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, gives an ending to darkness. In other words, nighttime is only kach v'kach hours. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a case. There's a case to darkness. Says the Medrash, Zman nosam le'Yosef kamishonim miyasev bebeis asurim. Kodesh Baruch Hu had a plan how many years Yosef should be in jail. Kim shgiyah ha'keitz cholam paro echaloim. In other words, what is being said, Rabbi Yisrael? Don't make a mistake. The reason Yosef was freed because paro dreamt. No! Yosef was supposed to be free because Kodesh Baruch Hu came, because the time came for Yosef to go out. So because Yosef was supposed to be free, so the cause, right, of Yosef's freedom, that's why Paro dreams. Not because Paro dreams Yosef is free. Because Yosef had to be free, Kodesh Baruch Hu made Paro dream. In other words, if not for Yosef having to be free, Paro would not have a dream. Had to have to dream. It's not the dream of Paro that caused Yosef to be free. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a plan that Yosef has to be free. So that was the cause of Paro dreams. It's the other way around. The Siba is the freedom. Not the Cholom is the Siba. And the freedom is the consequence. Says the Beis HaLevi, this is what Chazal is saying. It came the time to be free. It's not the dream of Paro that made him free. It was the time came he had to be free. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated events to bring that about. Rotu Bazeh, what Chazal want to tell us. Lishlo. Chazal want to remove from our thinking. Shalayayim, our person should say, Kechaloyim shel paroi gormeli Yosef hayitziyah, mibeis lasuri. Don't make a mistake, he says. Don't make, he says, a terrible mistake that it was the dream of Paro that caused Yosef to be released from jail. The opposite. Like Hayatia Shal Yosef, Shigia Zmano, Gorma Shayrachlam Parakalaymoy. That we ran. Yosef's Yetzir was Gorm Parish dream. Not Parish dream was Gorm that Yosef should be free. Mechain, he says, Loy Nemar, he said the same thing. We should not say. Normally, the way we read the psukim is because of the ksoinis pasim, because of the beautiful shirt, right? That Yaakov he presented to Yosef, right? More than the brothers. So garma hagolus avaseinu. Oh, so that caused the golus. That's what it appears, right? Yosef was sold because of that, and so on and so forth. Says the Beis Halev, you're making a mistake. Ki hoye gzeire kiduma lozeh debris ben absorim. The gzeirah for the Ovois that they go down into Mitzrayim, that was way before the Maitre Tzoyim Spasim. That was a vision of what Abraham Avinu had with the Tardei Meshidrach Lola by the Brisbane Absorb that Kedrachu made that bris. So that was predestined. So now that the time came that this gzeirah of going down to Mitzrayim had to take place, so Kedrachu orchestrated it through the Tzoyim Spasim. So it's not the Tzoyim Spasim, it was the Sibah of going down to Mitzrayim. Going down to Mitzrayim was the gzeirah. Regardless. Rakzeris are Golas again. It's the Xer of Golas Sibibah. That was Mesabe. That's the cause. That's the Sibah. Shohaya Sibah, he said, Halazu shall Aksoinis, shall Yodon is Galgala Golas. So the Mela, that's the way they went down. That's the way that the course of events took place. But the Sibah was why it all happened in the first place, because it had to happen already from before to go down to Mitzrayim. So Shem made it happen this way. The Imloy Hoyoisal Aksoinis, what he says. And let's say for some reason Yaakovina would not have made Aksoinis Pasim. Finds other ways how to send them down to Mitzrayim. You don't need Aksoinis Pasim. Says Vimloy Hoye Oysel Aksoinis Pasim Hoye Niskay Magzera Al Yidei Tzim Acheres. How does Shulchan Lamakar? Sven Begish Brachu. Doesn't that waste? There's only one way in the world to do it. Vechem Bechol Dover Hamsuvet. Also, anything he said, which is an outcome. Whenever you see an outcome and you think that the cause was what you think is the cause, Hanirtzel is Bar Goyim Shizdam and Lodem Asibet. When you have an outcome, so it's not the outcome is the result of the Sibet. The Siba is the result of the outcome. Hashem Baruch Hu wanted that outcome to happen, so therefore he created the Siba. So the Siba is after, not the Siba is first, and then comes the Mesubiv. It's because of the Mesubiv, Hashem Baruch Hu has the Siba take place, and so on. So he goes further, number three, and he says, Roizois Yovin Odom. He says, a person should understand, Kim Yemayit Ba'asokov, V'yishchazik Be'bitchoinoi. The person who would be Memayit, and is Asokim, and be more Mishchazik in his Bitochin, came to Samayit Mimena Hayigir. So therefore, so the effort to put in would also be Mismayit Umazman Oy Srocha Beumnes Kala Nakiyo. With an easier parnosa, the Chomash or other Marbe Bishtadlus, Umamik Bohem, the Oysa Bemachshafte Le Iker. You think that the Ishtadlus is the Iker? You need Ishtadlus. But if you think that's the Iker, Kain Ein Mazman Oy Parnasosa Rak Akahir. Now, if you believe you need Ishtadlus, you're going to have to do the Ishtadlus all that much. According to how much you believe your status is the Iker, you're going to be forced to do that. He says, as he points out from Chazal, go down to number four. And that's the reason, by the way, he explains very interestingly, he says, why is it that in our generation we see the Nisan, miracles, Shlokei HaTeva, are so much less than in the earlier generations. In the early generations, we always read about Nisan, and we hear about Nisan, and in our time, we see that there's very little Nisan, open Nisan. What's the reason for that? So the Beis Halev, I'll tell you why. In our time, Nisim have been reduced. Nisim have been reduced to such a small, to a minimum. The Zeh Hatam, he says, Al miut ha-Nisim, Shemedoyrus ha-Lolu, Ubedoyrus ha-Kadmoinim ha-Yunisim niglim. And those ha-Kadmoinim, we found that what? That the Nisim were niglim, that they were open. The Kishin is Chadish, he's an es. The Beis Halev said like this. We, unfortunately, our Muna is not on the level, he says, of days gone by. Which means, because Baruch Hu put us here in this world, and we have a Bechir, we have free choice. To do something which is going to take away our free choice, he says, defeats the whole purpose of being here in this world. Our avoid in this world is to be challenged, to utilize our Bechir, and hopefully choose the right thing. As the Torah says, B'chai, to B'chai. Rehin in the Sattel of Lech, the Chai is some other. The Torah says, you have the choice. U'b'chai, to B'chai. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do something that's going to defeat the purpose of Bechira, then we lost our whole purpose of being here. It's self-defeating. Now, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do open Nisim today, our Bechira would be lost. We'd be forced to recognize that there's Hashem here. If a person, the moment he's Machal Shabbos, imagine, he turns on the light, his hand falls off. He'll be forced to acknowledge there's the Borei Olam. If a person, the moment that he does an indiscretion, and let's say he does a ma'aseh geneva with his hand, and all of a sudden his hand becomes paralyzed. At the moment he does the aveira. So he clearly sees the connection. His bechir is lost. He's forced. He knows, I cannot steal. I cannot do this. I cannot do that. Kribot does not make nisim. Because the more nisim he'll do in our generation, that means our bechir will be gone. Why? Because the nisim will force us to believe. In Doris Kadmoinim, he says, they believed anyway. The nisim did not enhance their emunah all that much at all. Because they believed anyway in Hashem. They didn't need the nest. So it's not the nest that took away their bechir in any way. They had the level of emunah, your nest, nishnes. He said, such a high level. Look at the base of Levi's words. He says, the kishin is chadish is the nest, except because when the nest takes place, because Baruch Machadish is nest, azai balkorchach yoidu kulam ke Hashem haritzum loyo. It is basla bechirah. Go do nisim, he says. Keep doing having nisim gluim all the time. Or a person would clearly recognize the Yad Hashem, would take away the free choice. But it's only according to the level of the Madrege, the moon of the earlier generations. Well, if the Oyser Madrege, she sigu bavoidosom, the Madrege that they achieve with their own avoido, and she shuvla yipur lehem shum sofik glibom, being with their own avoido. They had no sveikis in Hashem. So they saw a kind of a nest, which that nest is not going to change anything in terms of bringing them higher. Ya'an on top. Ya'an ha'nes lo'hoistiv shum chizik babidosom yoyser him ha'sho'ol ha'mikoydim. For example, Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa in Shas all over the place is Malumet ben Nisim. Gemara used that lotion. Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, he's like a Chassidus Sheh Rebbe, you know. Everybody went, whenever he wanted a nest, went to Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. He was mispalet for choylet. And he was able to tell, the Gemara says, right after the tefillah, he was able to tell whether the tefillah was successful, whether choylet was going to have a refuah or not. They asked him, how do you know? He said, if tefillah goes shigura, if he says, if my tefillah goes shigura, if it goes smoothly, then I know mekubel. How is it mekubel? Vimla, then I know mene shemai. Chanina ben Doisa. So what happened once? The instead, by the way, this is very good for the Nes of Chanukah. Talking about the Nes of Chanukah, with the Nes in the oil, Chanina ben Doisa, once there was a shortage of oil, and they needed to light a lamp, and what happened is his daughter or so went and she brought vinegar. Or he said, bring vinegar. He said, vinegar? He said, how's vinegar? How can I light a candle? How can I light a candle with vinegar? So he said, Misha Oma Lashemen Shiyadlik, Yom Lachoymet Shiyadlik. He says, why does oil burn? Who decided? The scientific makeup. So who decided that this type of ingredient, that this is going to go? His brother decided that shemen, its properties, have the koyach to burn. But it's all the example because his brother put this into nature. So mishom al shemen sheyadlik, he can also say koyach sheyadlik. Doesn't make a difference. That's mechin b'daisa. So when he saw this nest, his emunah didn't become bigger because of the nest. The nest didn't influence his bechira. Okay, he knew it right away, even before it happened. As a matter, and he was able to predict what's going to happen. As the Gemara says, the Beis Halevi quotes now, Kamoyer B'chinim B'Doyzeh Shomar Mishom HaVashemen Sheyavlik V'yavlik Yom L'chayim V'yavlik Gemara Tanya Daf Chavei L'hoysev Loi HaNes HaLozeh Shum Chizik Ki Kol Ashi Yitzchadik Al Denes, any Chizik that he's going to gain by the Nes he had before, Ki Kol Ashi Yitzchadik Al Denes Dekpar Hizik B'chinim Du Be'atzum HaVavadosoy Al B'doyreinu Zeh. However, it says in our generation Ashu B'madrege Ketanor Karshbach makes even a small nest. This is going to lift up our emunah and our bitochen. So it comes out that he's going to be in Hashem, he's going to be influenced to believe more in Hashem because of a nest. But what he says, you have nisim happening, but you don't recognize it. You still have nisim. The truth is, you always have nisim. We say that but ain't bala nes makir benisa. You don't have an asoga how many nisim go through your life. You miss a nisim. Every time, every moment. Every breath you take, it's nisim. We say, koylan shomat halakot. We say twice. Koylan shomat halakot. The davening, we say, koylan shomat halakot. And the Gemara davening, nishomat from Lashon nishima, means breath. I'll call nishima, nishima, halakot. For every breath that you take, you have to praise Hashem. Why do we have it twice? Why does it say twice? Koylan shomat halakot. Shlech Ta'imu, why have that twice? The answer is, the level of how much you're going to praise Hashem is to what degree you understand Hashem is bestowing Chesed and Yeshua and Refuah upon you. Is that so? What the Pasuk is saying, first one says, Koylan Shoma Talako, which means, I'll call Nishima Nishima Talako. If you really believe that, if you're on that Madrega to understand, to appreciate, that every breath comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to that level, Koylan Shoma Talako, which is every person praise Hashem according to how much he understands that his makir toyv has to be makir toyv to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Many people can go through life on and on and on without even recognizing. And in a 24-hour day, you don't stop to think. From the moment that you open your eyes, then you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what we say, the Maidani. But it becomes like a ritual. Don't really think about it. If you wake up, and you open up your eyes, and you're able to take your feet, put it out of the bed, put the 2 feet on the floor. Tremendous. Tremendous Hashgachah in the Shema, you're able to do that. How many people are not able to do that? And would give Kol Hayin Yama to be able to do that. So Kol Hayin Shoma Talakor, which means if you understand Kol Al Nishim and Nishim Talakor, if you understand that, then Kol Hayin Shoma Talakor, that this is the way that you're going to praise Hashem. You're going to praise Hashem to the understand to the degree that you appreciate all the Torahs and all the Chassadim that Hashem does for you. So Kol Hayin does Nisim all the time, but Ein Balanes Makir Beniso, says the Beis Halevi. The Beis Rishonim could afford to do them openly because your Bechir was not taken away because you had the Imun anyway. The Nes was just something apart. Apart, another notch in the line and in the hanhog of the person's emun and Hashem anyway, which is another episode in his life. But you didn't need that nest to enhance anything. And no chiddush came out in your emun because of that nest. You were there anyway. You didn't need the nest for your emun's sake. The nest brought you a Yeshua. Fine. But the Bechir is still always there, with or without it. We'll finish up one more shtickle, Rabbi Yosef. Fine. V'zeh o'inyin ha'shem ha'zonoyseinu bo'olom v'nyiseinu rabin b'yegi rabo. Time of parnos is very difficult, he says. But when he says to Rabbi, he says, you know why? He says, Kishaleach lono hamazoynes loito mechusa b'ksus, he says, hamalocha. He says, you know, our parnos is given to us in the veil of the work that we do. We perceive our parnos, of course, through the malocha. It's in the veil of malocha, he says. L'malo yeh nikele ayim kol, it should not be recognized to the open eye, ya'boyrei Zon umefanes kochai. Our beemes, he says, hayegiya b'malocha is just ksus and ayin. It's blinding your eye. Lebal yiru, he says, geus Hashem, not to recognize the greatness of Hashem. Uko omram, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, mamshadiem. The Gemara says, harayoisi is my side, because he says, I've ruined my maisim v'kopaktis panasosi, so I also ruined my pranosi. Our beemes ein hamalocha mayila klum. So what does that mean? You shouldn't work? No, I put the arrow there. Look at the bottom footnote. Ending with the footnote over there. Al yachshev hakoyra, that the reader not make a mistake in tzorcha malocha. When I say that panos is veiled in malocha, so you think I'm trying to say don't work? He says that's not what I'm saying. He says, rak adrav, rotzen atoyra gdoishe asher kolodem yir nehenem yikapoy. We know that the rotzen atoyra is that a person should be nehenem through the fruits of his labors, as the Gemara says in Brachos, godel hanehenem yikapoy must be yoshem yirshamay. We find in the Medrash Bereishis Rabba, we also find Avraham Avinu, when he comes to Eretz Yisrael, Kishaba Avraham to Eretz Yisrael, Umot Oysim Yisrael, that they were plowing, Motzim Choshim Bechuli, he says, Oma Halavai Yechelki Boretz Azois. By Yitzchak, we also find, by Yizra Yitzchak. No, so what do I mean by that? Karnos is veiled in Malocha. Because Baruch Hu wants us to work. You know what I mean? It's veiled. It's veiled. Raka Kavone. Ki Yomin Odom, first I have to understand, Asha Malocha, Ba'atmoy Eina Moyel Raka Yed Birchis Hashem. How do you have to do your status? You have to work. But the Hatzloch is not because of the work. Hatzloch is the Birchas Hashem. That becomes the vehicle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose for you. But you have to understand that this is the source, comes from the Shemayim, and that's the Yisoid of the Emunah, and that's the tremendous lesson of the Torah. So we stop here by saying, let's click on the Chavis HaVavis now. Chavis HaVavis we are up to here. Those who have the regular Chavis HaVavis, it's almost page ratio test. In the regular Chavis HaVavis, if you haven't had, ratio test. We're up to the Hagdoma Hashenis. Okay, we should test. It's the Hagdoma Hashenis. That's what we're up to. The Chavis HaVavis is presenting that there are really five tenoyim, as he calls it. There are five conditions. That there are five conditions that a person has to possess in order to be a Baal Bitochen Sholeh. In order to be a complete Baal Bitochen, there are five Hagdomas, there are five prefaces, there are five conditions. Hagdoma Hashenis, the second Hagdoma he says is, Sheyeda v'yizbarer etzloi. A person has to work on the notion, it should become clear to him, Ke'avoyre yizbarach mashkifolo. A person has to live with the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over him. The Einela Mimenu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not hidden from him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything about him. The Einela Mimenu, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing is hidden. He says, Niglehu Benistoroi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing is hidden. things that are open and things that are hidden, Kabracha knows them all. And also it says, Utzfunai Vinireu, also things that are within your heart, deep down, and what you do on the outside doesn't make a difference, Kadosh Baruch Hu. What you do on the outside, what you have on the inside, all that does not make a difference, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows it all. Inside out. He said, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows clearly, Vim Bitchoinu, Belikov, Belayv Sholem, Imloiv. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows whether your Bitochen is really Belayv Sholem. Not as many people speak as about Bitochen. But Nahar Tatras Nish. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not the spot which you say on the outside. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows whether in fact you are a Baal B'Tochen, as he points out. Kadosh Baruch Hu HaKotzer, the post success in Tehillim. So Hashem Yudei Machshav Yisodom Gehei Mohovel. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that whatever people think, people plan, it's all narishkeit. It's all vain. One of the Posek in Mishlei. Posek in Mishlei says, Haloi Toichen Libois Hu Yovin. The Posek says that the one who resides in hearts understands. Who resides in the heart? Kadosh Baruch Hu is in the heart of every person. Haloi Toichen Libois, the one who resides in the heart, Hu Yovin, he understands, he knows. The Yom HaPosik in Malachim says, Ki Ato Yodato Levatchos Levav Kol B'nei Odo. That you alone, Kadosh Baruch Hu, know is in the heart of each and every person. Okay, she is Barez El Abateach. And when it becomes clear to you, you who hopes to trust in Hashem, if this becomes clear to you, Ein Roi Eloi Litoi, one should not profess with his mouth alone, Shu B'teich B'likim Yis'ala B'digurai. A person should not try merely with his mouth to profess that he believes in Hashem. Mibli sheyiftach kol of the liboy b'matzpune, because the prophet knows exactly where your heart is, where your heart is living and meeting up with the mouth. The yib b'malas mishenema aleim, the prophet knows whether you don't fall into those upon which the Navi says in Yeshaya, bepiv ubisfosav kibduni, but the liboy rochak mimene. The prophet says that many people who serve Hashem merely with lip service, bepiv ubisfosav, with the mouth and the lips, but the liboy rochak mimene. So this is the Chovas Avobas. The Hagdom HaShenis is that to understand that, of course, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything outside and in, and therefore would you have to work on your bitochim to make sure to see that it is equally not just merely on the outside with your mouth, but the avoidance is to actually see that you have it mainly belayed, it should be in your heart as well. Continues on, Chovas Avobas, and he says, V'Hagdom HaShlishis. He says, matter of fact, he says, the third Hagdom. Now the third Hagdom, the third condition that a person needs to be a bitochen b'shlemis, to be a bitochen b'sholim, to have bitochen b'shlemis, the third thing that he needs, the Hagdom HaShlishis is, sheyeyached elikov b'bitchoinoi boy, which means that he should designate, because Baruch Hu should be singled out as the only one that I trust, the mashu chayel v'toyach boy. In other words, all those areas that need bitochen, only a Kodesh Baruch Hu. No shutif. It's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu and this. I trust in Hashem plus so-and-so. I trust in Hashem plus that. This. Sheyeyache. Kadosh Baruch Hu should become singled out as miyuchet. Kadosh Baruch Hu becomes singled out as miyuchet only in Him. Va'al yishatev zilusoi imoy. And it should not be mishatev anybody else. In bitochen, no one else. The yiftach olot. And it should have bitochen, he said, or and somebody else, or balechem ma'bruim, or any other creature, or some other item. Doesn't make a difference. Don't be mishat as anything else or anybody else in your betochen to Hashem. He says, because why? He says, it's not just you're going to lose the mile of betochen, it's going to hurt you. If you're mishat as somebody else, if you place trust in something else, that'll take away your betochen to Hashem. That the little betochen that you had in Hashem, adding something else to it, he says, is you're going to lose that. And we know, Mashiremba ba Aso im chasidusoi. Aso was Melech Yehuda. And Aso was a tzaddik. And yet we found that even though he was a tzaddik, sometimes there are certain areas where a person fails. There are certain areas that a person fails. It could be a tzaddik. Aso was a tzaddik. It was an area that he failed in his bitochen. In one area. What was that? He says, Eis shesomach al harefin. It came the time that he got ill and he placed his trust on the doctors. The Chassidus says in Divrei Hayomim, the Pasuk says, Began the Cholyoy Loidorash as Hashem Kiberoifim. Venena Shalzeh was punished. It's not saying here not to go to the doctor. But you don't place the trust in the doctor. The trust is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way it's going to take place, the way Hashem is going to plan it, Venera Chatev is going to be through the Reife. But the doctor is your Shliach. And that's really the truth is when we say Nishman Ezra, For Enu Hashem Venei Rofe, it means that how are you going to the doctor? But it's all with the understanding that what? That the source of the Rapur comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu, and in Him you're placing your trust. Now, what happens to people is when they get into trouble in some situation, the first thing they'll run back to a doctor, which they should be going to a doctor, and only because they're shown they don't hear good news from the doctor, that's when they take the tailor. Like the doctor is first, okay, the doctor, maybe this will help, maybe the tilm will help. The tilm should be the first thing. And he goes to the doctor at the same time. But it's all to be connected with the tilm and the stretched out hand, clapping your mind to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it goes further, I mean, how you do it, and he said the Pesuk is also, Vomar HaKosu, Pesuk Yirmiyah. Baruch HaGera Sheiftah Hashem, which blesses the person who's Beteach Hashem, who trusts in Hashem, and then it says, V'hoya Hashem Miftacho, and Hashem is his security. Now, the Mephoshim point out, the Chavis Zohar tries to point out, because what is the double ocean? Again, the Pesuk says, Baruch HaGera Sheiftah Hashem, and then he also says, V'hoya Hashem Miftacho. You just said, Baruch HaGera Sheiftah Hashem, you're trusting in Hashem. What it means to say is what the Chavis Zohar is saying. You have a person who's Beteach Hashem, but the Chavis Zohar started out to say, it's not enough to be a Beteach Hashem. You have to make sure Al Yishatev Zulosa Imo, you don't have anybody else as a Shutev. Says the Pesuk as follows. Baruch HaGev HaShivtav Hashem. Not enough. V'hoi Hashem Miftach. Only Hashem should be the one that you place your trust in. Now, in other words, you're saying I'm Beteach Hashem, but I also, together with Hashem, I have another. I have other Nyonim. I have other Mekairis. That's rejected by the Chavis Avovis very clearly, and that's what the Pesuk wants to emphasize. Baruch HaGev Shitov Hashem, V'hoi Hashem, the repetition of V'hoi Hashem is not merely repetition. It's adding this Nekudah in what Pesuk means. Hashem and only Hashem. V'hoi Hashem Miftachoi. Then how you do it? And he says, you can see it also in daily life, also between people, in social life. Kimi, he says, She'emana mibnei yodim shnei mamunim, if you try to point two people to do a job. Or more. Or Yoser, Lasse Dovar, Minuyoi Mufsin. The appointment is stands to lose. Because if you don't have one single person who's really, right, take responsibility, like to Mafim, he puts him, and he thinks him too, he thinks each one shifts the responsibility on the other. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says, that it's called Kedera de Beishutfe. The Gemara says, Lechamim Evelai Kirire. The Gemara says, Mavavasar, that you have a pot. You think too many cooks spoil the pot. It's a Gemara already. One of the Kedera de Beishutfe, it's not going to be hot enough, it's not going to be cold enough. Because everybody else has a different way of making things. Somebody likes it hotter, somebody likes it colder, he likes more salty. Lechamim Evelai Kirire, it's not going to be right. Because people, too many people, he's going to add this, he's going to add that. The idea is, he says, Kol Sheken Mi Shebotach Alekim is a loser. So if this does not really work out perfectly with just with even two human beings, which one is not greater than the other anyway, but the minuya, the appointments, are going to suffer if you don't give the responsibility really to one person. So somebody b'teyav alekim, this is also, imagine who the second one is, on the outside of the shemi, you're adding someone else, someone so feeble, somebody so weak, human being. She yisosa b'tchoin, certainly your b'tochin is going to be destroyed. This might be one of the strongest causes. In other words, when a person hopes to Hashem, that Hashem will give him what he needs. So he has a whole list. He has a whole list of what he hopes Hashem to give him. And he trusts that Hashem will give him. So the Sabbos, one of the greatest hindrances that's going to block your Bakosha from coming to fruition, because when you trusted Hashem, you also trusted somebody else. The fact that you trusted, you put somebody else, you pulled somebody else in, not only is not going to help it, that's going to destroy it. That's the Loshen again, he says. Let's read again. That's probably the greatest cause. That which he hoped to gain with his betochen. He hoped Hashem will give him this, will give him that. All the bakosh that he has, with betayah that Hashem will give him. What's going to ruin it? One of the greatest things that's able to ruin him in achieving that which you hope Hashem is going to give him, is in fact, is that. Shomar, the Pesuk says, Or HaGever Asher Yiftach Ba'odom, he says, curses the man who's Yiftach Ba'odom, the son Bosor Zeroyoi, and he makes flesh and blood his strength, places trust in the flesh and blood, Umin Hashem Yoseh Liboy. So Rabbi says, so this is what we have here from the Chavis HaBovis. Let me just tell Rabbi Yisai, let me just conclude. There was a Maisa Noira before World War II in Lodz. A family in Lodz, they had a two-year-old child, child's name was Shlomo. This two-year-old child, whose name was Shlomo, was very fascinated by the candles Friday night. And as from 2 years old, he would stand already up on a chair, and he would watch those candles and look at it, and somehow reasonlessly he became mesmerized by the candles. Somehow he became very, very fascinated, he says, by those candles, sort of like in a trance. And it came out that this was week after week, and little Shlomo would always get up on the chair, and they just, his eyes would be like transfixed looking at those Shabbos candles. The aura of Kedusha around it had a tremendous hashpah on him. And of course, after a while, as we know, the fate of the Jewish people in Poland and other places, the entire thing came to a halt. He says, it was all over. Before this happened, once he had a mishap, getting up on a chair, it turned out that he knocked over two of the candles. He got up on a chair like on a regular Friday night, as we'd always do. He knocked off two of the candles and he burned his arm. Right, burned his arm, and the arm had to be completely bandaged, he says, and it left a permanent scar on his hand. But that didn't change his hanhoge. After that, he still used to stand on a chair and still watch those candles. And it all came to a halt, you know, when World War II brought a tremendous, of course, an abrupt end to this type of a home life. The family's name was Stern. His father's name was Abraham Stern. His name was Shlomo Stern. So the mitzvah was that Shlomo's father, Abraham Stern, was sent out to a ghetto workshop a particular day, and he heard the terrifying report that while he was sent out to a particular labor workshop, that his wife back home and his children, everybody was taken away. That they were taken away, and they snatched away to be taken to some sort of a work camp. Rabbi Avram was very sure that he'll never see them again, and this was the way it usually was. No one really returned from a so-called work camp. This was the fate of most Jews in that way. He ran off to the forest and he joined a group of partisans, and the interesting thing that he was captured by Russians, by Soviets toward the end of the war, and he was arrested for having collaborated with the enemy. So he was sent to a prison camp in Siberia. But the mice, he felt that whatever he can do for Yiddishkeit, he'll do. He felt the privilege. It was a privilege to be sent to Siberia. But at least there was a chance that he might make it. He might survive when he was sent to Siberia. So he always found a makeshift little barn or someplace where he could have a sort of a makeshift shul, and to get people to come to daven and so on and so forth, and try to observe some mitzvahs. And it was very, very difficult to try to do it so much in hiding, and he used to be caught by guards, used to beat him, but finally they considered to be small in fraction, didn't do much. They decided just to leave it alone. He was the driving force behind the group to keep as much Yiddish guy as possible. Once he was beaten so strongly that he actually, he fainted. Why? For the crime of taking wood to be used as a matzah bakery. Pesach, to bake a matzah. So anyway, they saw that how determined he was and decided to leave him alone. Except there was one tremendous Nazi anti-Semite, whose name was Wilhelm. And he would always shake his fist as Rabbi Avraham. He said, I just want to catch you really doing something which is against the rules, so I have the pleasure, said Mamish, of torturing you to death. And he was always like Mamish over him. And he was always threatening him. He would have this tremendous whip. He would always whip it, you know, crack the sound of the whip, in order just to scare him, to tell him, I'd like to have my whip on you. And just looking for the opportunity. It turns out that after a number of years, Stalin died, and this Rabbi Avraham was among a number of prisoners that was granted amnesty. And therefore, he knew he was going to be free, but he felt very bad for the Jewish prisoners that were not so lucky to be able to leave. And he thought that it was one of our last Friday night to be there. He's going to go and going to visit that little shul that they had for the last time. They had candles, that they had two little candles that they had. And began to say Tillim softly. He was there. It was empty. There was nobody there but him. But this is like saying goodbye to the shul that they used, that place. And as he was saying the Tillim, suddenly the door opened. And who's there? He says that Rusha Marisha, says that anti-Semite. He says that Wilhelm is there. 6 foot, 200 pound, you know, villain. His eyes were blazing, you know, with fury and hate. And he growled in glee. He says, I have only caught you. He's in the so-called shul as Tillim in front of Shabbos candles. He says, and this is going to be your last prayer also, he says. He might as well say your last prayer, he says, because now he says, I'm going to kill you. He took out his gun, and is about to shoot. He says, you know what, he says, killing you with a gun, he said, is not going to be satisfying. I want to kill you with my bare hands. So he puts down the gun, he rolls up his sleeves, and Avraham notices a deep, ugly scar on his hand. Shloime manzin! The Shloime Manzin, he says, and he turned to the two candles. That little Shloime used to stand up on the chair and always look at the two candles. And he says, Tate. You can imagine the shock, you know, that was taking place. And they were both frozen. And after the initial shock just wore off, it turns out that when they were snatched away,
his mother had given him over to a neighbor who put him into a convent, and he was raised as a goy, and so on and so forth. And he rose, he entered the military academy, and he rose to ranks, and so on and so forth. And he became known as fearless and ruthless. They said Wilhelm he became of. You can imagine father and son how spoke very wholeheartedly, tremendously, tremendously emotional. And the father told them his plans is he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael. And they said to Shloim, I hope that one day you're going to join me. The end of the story is that Shloim got married, raised a Jewish family, and his father in his old age, where did he live? He lived by the son, who was just about to kill him, not knowing. Magic would have shot him, because Baruch Hu put into his heart to try to kill him with his bare hand. And that was the issue. The Metoyach HaTor is Gufa Rabbi Yisai. This is the way Hashem works, and this is Nisim of Chanukah for us, Rabbi Yisai, in each and every way, every day. Al Nisefer, Shepachol Yom, 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 Y